Radio Theater. Every week at this time, the curtain rises on a new presentation of a dramatic work in the exciting world of sound entertainment.
Cue for curtain!
In Radio Theater. Tonight we present The Man in Red by John Wright. Some women, like Heather Kelly, are very hard to please. Even when her husband Dan, a successful New York cartoonist, agrees to purchase a property in the wealthy residential town of Mullins Cove at her request, it still fails to satisfy her. Bored and restless, she starts drinking even more than usual and does her best to embarrass him by glorying in the attentions of recently divorced Jack Tashman, a man who is playing the field. Then suddenly and unexpectedly, she disappears. Returning from a business trip, Dan Kelly finds his home deserted, his wife's car gone, along with much of her clothing. He assumes she has left him, but has she? This is only the start of a mystery destined to change the lives of a number of people. The Man in Red, by John Wright, is produced for Radio Theatre by Andre Botmar.
Working late again this afternoon.
I'm trying to finish the inking of these extra pages before the weekend.
More of that science fiction junk.
That's the sort of comic book the kids are buying these days.
If you say so.
Okay, so what's eating at you now?
This place. Driving me bananas.
Heather, let's not go through all that again, huh? It was your idea for us to move up here.
So I was wrong. I thought I had people living at Mullins Cove, not a bunch of corpses waiting for cemetery space.
Come on, knock it off.
Mullins Cove's like the butt end of nowhere. It's stifling me.
That why you're drinking so early in the day?
Any objections?
Not that they do much good. You've been hitting the bottle a good bit lately.
Well, maybe I need it. Maybe I need something to hang on to.
Maybe you'll before it's time to go to the Sinclairs. We were invited over this evening, remember?
Oh, I haven't forgotten. It's darling Patsy's birthday.
I'm so glad you were able to come, Dan.
It was kind of you to invite me. Patsy, Tucker's really serious about running for governor, isn't he?
So you read the announcement?
Until this morning, I had no... I guess I thought it was something still way down the road.
So did I. But Noah's been pushing him. Politics is all I hear these days. Sometimes I get the feeling Noah's trying to relive his own life through Tucker.
Someone mentioned my name?
Yes. We were discussing the release you gave the newspapers.
How about that, Kelly? I guess everyone will know I wasn't just spouting hot air, huh?
Congratulations, Tucker. Good luck.
Thanks. I'm going to need all I can get. Yes, we've already had feedback about the opposition's reaction.
Oh, please, Tucker, no more politics. Not tonight. It's my birthday party, remember?
Sure. Come on. Let's go and try out some of that music. Mind if I steal my wife back for a dance or two, Kelly?
Of course not. I'm sorry I've been hogging her time.
Why, out here all alone, Kelly?
Not enjoying the party?
Getting a little fresh air, that's all.
How you doing, Noah?
Great. Just great. I guess you know Tucker's taking the first step toward the governor's mansion.
We were talking about it just a few minutes ago. I hope he makes it.
Oh, he'll make it. Have no fear of that. Takes after his old man, that boy. He's got the stuff it takes. How about you? Still drawing for the funny pages?
Uh-huh.
Hell of a way for a grown man to make a living, isn't it?
Possibly. Kind of like politics.
That's supposed to be a joke?
No, I guess not.
All I meant was, if a man's got any artistic talent, wouldn't he be better off painting real pictures?
Greenwich Village is full of artists painting real pictures, wondering where their next meal is coming from. I know. I've been there. Now I'll stick to what I do best, what I enjoy most. Drawing for the funny pages.
Hell, Dan. No offense was intended.
And none taken.
Good, good. We should all devote ourselves to that which we do best. It's what I'm always telling Tucker. You and Heather, you've settled in nicely, haven't you?
Yeah, we've settled in.
You were lucky to get that place. Properties up here are snatched up fast, even at their inflated prices. Guess there must be money in your racket if you could buy that old Whitfield house.
I managed to scrape by.
Oh, damn it, Dan. You've got to learn not to be so touchy. Let's go in and get ourselves a drink.
Yeah, suppose I should. I've been neglecting Heather.
Oh, don't worry about that girl. She knows how to enjoy herself. Come and see.
Stop it, Jack. I've heard that sort of blarney from experts.
From others, it may have been blarney. Me, I mean it. Your husband's one very lucky guy.
Oh, tell him that.
Oh, I'll let you out of my arms. Fat chance.
Don't look now, but Dan's just come in.
Look at me. I'm trembling. Listen, gorgeous. What say you and me? We step outside for a while.
Why, Jack, I'm a married woman.
So what? We're ringing each other's bells, aren't we?
You really are crazy.
Heather, take it easy, will you? You're getting drunk. People are noticing.
Let them. I'm enjoying myself. You mind?
Matter of fact, I do. Come on. It's time we were leaving now. Let's get your wrap.
You want to go? Then go. I'm having a good time, and I'm staying till the party's over. Hey, Tucker, you avoiding me? You haven't had one dance with me yet.
Oh, that wife of yours. She knows what music and a party are all about.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tucker. She's been drinking and she isn't used to it.
Oh, forget it. Everyone's had a bit too much to drink. But I'd watch that Jack Tasham, if I were you. Since his divorce, the guy's become a certified wolf.
Oh, Tucker, Judge Burwell just told me something interesting. You better come and hear it, huh?
Excuse me, Dan.
Sure.
Do you really have to go, Dan?
I'm afraid so. It's past Heather's bedtime.
I'm glad she's enjoyed herself so much.
Thanks, Patsy. You're quite some lady, you know that? Quite some lady.
You have no right to drag me away like that.
No? Well, I thought I had every right to prevent my wife making an even bigger spectacle of herself.
You're sore, because Jack Tatchman was paying me so much attention, that's all. You were plain damn jealous.
Okay, perhaps I didn't like the way he'd attached himself to you.
At least he knows how to entertain a girl.
You and Tatchman, tonight wasn't the first time, was it? You've been together before.
What if I have?
You're my wife. And you ask a question like that.
Oh, wipe that silly look off your face. Jack's nothing to me. Never has been. I need a nightcap. You want one?
No, there's nothing I want.
Jack's nothing to me, damn it. Tonight's the first night I ever... Oh, what does it matter anyhow?
Right. What does it matter?
How long do you think you'll be away?
Just the day if I can help it. I'll take the early morning train. Be back tomorrow night. You can still change your mind, you know. You could come with me. We could stay overnight, look up some of the old gang.
No. No, I'll stay here.
Heather, it's been 2 weeks since the party. Can't we forget what happened?
I already have. I'll pack an extra shirt in case you have to stay over.
Often going to New York?
These days only when I have to.
What is it? Business trip?
Uh-huh. Triangle Publications have the editorial offices in Madison Avenue, so I don't have much option.
Uh-huh.
Have to deliver work, pick up new assignments, sit in on story sessions, that sort of thing. How about you? Tell us a business?
Yeah. I have a meeting with our public relations people. How long will you be there?
Oh, just the day. I'll be back on the night train.
Oh, great. Then we'll both be on it. Set up time for a drink or two. How's Heather keeping?
She's fine. Just fine.
Hey, make a scotch on the rocks this time, will you? Yeah, sure. Hit me again.
It's the chance of a lifetime. And Mullins Cove is just beautiful. To be able to work in the sun, go fishing. We could even get a small boat. Oh, it would be like heaven.
We'll make it a double. And go easy on the ice this time, huh?
What do you want from me? Tell me, damn it. What do you want?
You talking to me, buddy? No, I was just...
Give me another of the same, will you?
Sorry, Mac. You've had more than your fill. How we got a rule about serving drunks? On your way.
Hello?
Patsy? It's Dan. Dan Kelly.
Ah, Dan. How nice to hear from you.
Patsy, I'm sorry to bother you like this, but did you perhaps see Heather today?
No. I haven't seen her since the party. Dan, you sound... Is anything wrong?
I don't know. I was away yesterday and just got in this afternoon. She isn't here. Nor's her car.
Oh, she's probably taken a drive. I'm sure she'll be home soon.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Patsy.
Yeah.
Kelly. What brings you around this time of night?
I'm looking for my wife.
How the heck would I know where she is? Well, Kelly, I'm not sure I like this. It's almost midnight. You can't come around.
All I want to know is if she's with you.
Are you nuts? What the hell would I be doing with your wife?
You tell me. You were with her yesterday. You were in my home. I found your cigarette butts there. Those fancy Turkish weeds you favor.
All right, all right. So I stopped by to say hello. I didn't know you were away. Heather invited me in, offered me a drink. Is there any harm in that?
Jack, I'm waiting.
Listen, if your wife been catting around behind your back, if she suddenly got me...
I guess I've been waiting to do that for quite a while. Next time you talk about my wife, choose your words with more care.
I'll fix you for this, Kelly. I'll fix you good. That's a promise.
Anytime, Jack. Anytime you feel up to it.
Dad!
What are you doing?
Dad, you look awful.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess I do look a mess. It's been a long night and I've had no sleep.
Dad?
Yeah, come on in. Come.
What is it, Dad? What's happened?
It's Heather.
She's still not home?
No, I don't think she will be. A few hours ago, I was ready to contact the sheriff's office. And something made me check her closet. A whole bunch of her clothes are missing.
Oh, no, you mean...
Yeah, right. She's packed and gone. Without bothering to leave so much as a note.
The curtain falls on Act One of Radio Theater.
What'll you do now?
What else is there to do except wait? Perhaps she'll decide to phone, let me know what it's all about.
Has she ever done anything like this before?
No. We've had arguments. Same as everyone. But they never ended like this.
You and Heather had a disagreement?
Sort of. A few weeks back, after the party. But it blew over. At least I thought it had. She'd been complaining about this place, saying it was wearing on her nerves.
I always thought she liked it here.
So did I. Moving up here was her idea. I guess she did like it in the beginning. But a couple of months ago, she started changing. Became bored and restless. Nothing pleased her.
Now, you go and sit down. I'll make some coffee. Have you had anything to eat?
Food hasn't exactly been uppermost on my mind.
Then that's the first thing we'll take care of.
You've been awfully quiet this evening.
I've been listening to you and Noah.
Oh, sorry, honey. Didn't mean to squeeze you out of the discussion. But you know how it is. Lots of plans to be made, things to arrange.
Patsy, you're not very enthusiastic about me seeking nomination, are you?
It's your life, Tucker. You have to decide what you want.
Wait till we move to the state capital. You'll be proud of this boy of mine then. And from there, well, who knows where it'll lead us.
Oh, nowhere. Tucker still has to secure the nomination. You talk as if he's already been elected.
You think there's a chance I won't be?
No. Quite the contrary. And it scares me a little.
Scares you?
This. Our home. Mullins Cove, everything. I've grown so used to it. The thought of leaving it behind for a life of...
Tucker won't have to sell the place. There'll be time enough to come back for weekends, even vacations. Oh, Patsy, I think you got the wrong slant on things.
Somehow, I don't think that's what's really troubling her. It's Dan Kelly, isn't it, Patsy?
Kelly? What's he got to do?
You've heard about Heather running out on him, haven't you?
Sure, everyone has. But that's his affair.
Oh, Dad. You ought to know Patsy and her bleeding heart by now. She's actually worried about Kelly. Probably even feeling so gratefully sorry for him.
Oh, you ask me, he's better off without a woman like that.
A woman like what?
Now, girl, you know what I meant. You saw the way she was soaking up the booze at your party. The way she was performing. We all saw it.
Perhaps. But it still doesn't explain why she would suddenly decide to leave Dan. Why she hasn't bothered to contact him. That poor man is so distraught that I think somebody...
Patsy. Now, don't tell me you're going soft on Kelly. Now, feeling sorry for him is one thing, but the way you're acting, one would be inclined to think that there was something
else. Don't be absurd. Dan is just a friend.
Well, of course. Did I suggest anything else?
Patsy, have you been visiting him since his wife cleared off?
I've stopped by a few times. Why?
You're sure that's wise?
You mean people might talk?
That's exactly what I mean. Oh, darn it, Patsy. Tucker can't afford any kind of gossip. Not now.
That's right. I don't think you should go around there again. At least not until Heather returns.
If she returns.
Whichever. But in the meantime, I'd be grateful if you kept away from Kelly.
Tucker, I hope you're not dictating to me. I'm not sure I'd appreciate that.
Tucker's only thinking of you, girl. If people...
Oh, please, Noah. The only thing either of you are thinking about is Tucker's precious reputation and the plans you have for him.
Patsy, all Dad's trying to say...
I'm aware of what he's saying, and I don't like it. Dan Kelly's a friend. No more than that.
Is he? The way you're going on about him, you would think that he was your...
Don't say it. Tucker.
Okay. So, he's just a friend. But I'm sure he's old enough to sort out his own problems without any help from an outsider.
You've never understood anything about... To you and Noah, friends are simply people to be used to further your ambitions.
Oh, now, Patsy, you know that isn't true.
Isn't it? Anyway, I've had enough of this discussion. I'm going to bed. Good night.
Patsy, listen.
Good night, Tucker. Noah.
Yeah? Mr. Kelly? Yeah? My name's Parrish. Roscoe Parrish. You probably don't know me, but I've seen you and Mrs. Kelly when you've been down to Cashman's Shopping Center.
Something you wanted?
Well, a few minutes of your time is all. Okay for me to come inside?
You work for Jack Tashman?
Yeah, at the hardware store.
He send you to see me?
No, he don't know nothing about it. Nobody does. It's, well, sort of confidential.
All right. Come in.
Thanks. It's nice. Remember when the Whitfields owned this house? Had it a long time, they did.
You said you had something to discuss.
Okay, to sit down. If you must. Thanks. I don't know why I wanted to walk up here when I got a truck. Legs ain't what they used to be.
You familiar with Gatlin Road, Mr. Kelly?
I never heard of it. Look, Parrish.
Sure. I'll get to it. Now, Gatlin Road's not used much since they put in the new highway. But the other night, January 10, I was driving up that way pretty late, and I wasn't expecting to see anyone else around. And suddenly, about a mile in front of me, there's these headlights. One second they're there, next thing they swing to the right and vanish.
Yeah, all of which sounds like the start to an interesting story, though I don't see how it concerns me.
You will, Mr. Kelly. Okay, so I get to the place where the lights were, but now there's nothing. So I stop my truck, get out, and from deep in the brush, I hear noises, like branches snapping, like somebody moving around. I fetch a flashlight and start poking around, and know what I find?
I'm not much good at guessing games. You tell me.
What I find, Mr. Kelly, is a car. Gatlin Road runs past a ravine that's deeper in hill with heavy brush growing down its sides. My guess is the car would have gone all the way to the bottom if it hadn't got tangled in the growth. As it is, you need eyes like a hawk to see where it finally came to roost.
Why are you telling me all this?
Because when I get down to the car, it's empty, and the lights are out. Switched off.
You reported it?
Uh-uh. In this town, I've learned to mind my own business. Somebody wants to junk a car, I figure it's no skin off.
Look, you'll forgive me if I sound stupid, but what has this got to do...
Nights before last, I get to thinking, and I remember hearing that Mrs. Kelly has skipped out. And suddenly, I remember something else. I remember seeing her driving a wagon just like the one that's been ditched.
You're saying it's my wife's car?
No question of it. I checked the registration.
Why haven't I heard from the sheriff?
I told you. I haven't talked about it to nobody.
Parrish, what the hell is this?
Stay cool, Mr. Kelly. You'll see in a moment. Okay. So now I'm driving home. Down the road, I see a guy walking. When my lights hit him, he ducks out of sight like he don't want to be spotted. Remember me saying this was the night of January 10? The night everyone saying you were out of town.
I've heard enough. I'm calling Sheriff Barry, and that's my wife's car.
Don't be so impatient, Mr. Kelly. I mean, unless you can explain what you were doing up on Gatlin that night.
What? I was... You crazy?
I recognize that fancy red zipper jacket of yours, that hat you wear for fishing. Seen you wearing them a dozen times. It was you up there, no question.
You saw someone, but not me. I was in New York.
So maybe I was wrong. Maybe you can prove you were someplace else. But remember me telling you about seeing the car's lights, about hearing noises down in the brush? Well, the way I see it, whoever ran that heap off the road figured it would travel straight down the ravine and probably never be found. Trouble is, when he got stuck halfway, he had to go down and switch off the lights just in case they attracted attention. Maybe also to remove whatever was in the car.
Are you trying to say my wife's dead?
No, never said nothing like that. Just telling you what I found, seeing you on the road shortly afterwards. No one walks up Gatlin Road, Mr. Kelly. No point. There's nothing up there. I reckon you'll have to make of it what you will.
Why haven't you gone to the sheriff with this?
Oh, figured I'd give it to you first, is all.
No, that isn't all, is it?
Well, right now I am sort of confused. I know it's my duty to report what I found. On the other hand, well, things are tough for a working man these days.
I see. How much?
For $5,000, I can get permanent amnesia.
Where I come from, that's called blackmail.
Ah, heck, I'm only trying to be of help, Mr. Kelly. I mean, sometimes a man's got mighty good reasons to...
Anyway, you don't have to decide right now.
Sleep on it. Oh, there's just one more thing. Your hat. It must have got knocked off when you ducked in among them trees.
You found it? You have it with you?
Uh-uh. Stashed it near to where it fell, just in case I got to show it to someone like the sheriff. It's got your name inside, but I guess you know that.
Think we can do business, Mr. Kelly?
Parrish, you come here hinting that I may have disposed of my wife. If it were remotely true, perhaps you should consider the rather dangerous position in which that places you.
Oh, that don't bother me none. You see, I put everything down in writing. Anything happens to me, I'll give you a buzz tomorrow. Okay?
Get in, I'll give you a lift.
Mr. Tashman, what are you...
I said get in.
Okay.
It's sure nice of you to stop, Mr. Tashman.
Where have you been, Roscoe?
Just walking, no place particular.
Been visiting Dan Kelly, haven't you?
Kelly? No. Why'd I want to do that?
Don't lie to me, damn it. I saw you leaving. What did you want with him?
Nothing. Just went to see if you wanted to maybe go fishing this weekend, is all.
Oh, Roscoe, you're such a darn poor liar. Now, how about the truth?
I told you. All I did was...
Supposing I told you I went to call on Kelly, that when I got there I heard you two talking.
Mr. Tashman, it wasn't like you think. I wasn't really
Roscoe,
trying...
before you say anything more, remember you work for me. Jobs up here aren't that plentiful. Let me remind you also that I heard most of your conversation. I also know that the Kellys run an account at Dolan's Garage, and that you've been there to check out the registration of Heather Kelly's car. Now, go ahead. I'm listening.
Swear it.
Interesting. Very interesting.
You know, it's funny. I never even heard your car stop when I was at Kelly's.
Roscoe, you may not be the smartest guy around, but you're sure the most gullible. Visiting Dan Kelly is the last thing I'd be doing.
Doing out here, Barrier?
Maybe I should ask you the same thing.
You know about my wife's car, then?
Now I do. A fellow named Roscoe Parrish reported finding it. had a few other things to tell me also.
Parrish told you?
By the surprised expression.
Because last night he came to me with the same information, offering to sell his silence.
Oh? Why do you want to do that?
Because... It doesn't matter.
Because he claims to have seen you on this road shortly after the car was ditched. So, what are you doing here this morning?
Finding out if Parrish was telling the truth.
And?
It's in a car, all right. And it's empty. The luggage compartment as well.
Not of some importance?
When my wife left home, she packed quite a few clothes. If she'd been driving the car, her suitcases should still be in it.
Hmm. Unless they were deliberately dumped after the car got stuck down there.
You try to tell me something?
Maybe. Right now, I'm saying you'd better come back with me to the station. We're going to have a little talk while my men comb the area.
Parrish is a damn liar.
The possibility exists. Anyway, if you were really out of town that night, he reckons he saw you. Shouldn't be too tough to prove. Give me the names of some people I can contact.
There's Dave Tinsley, my editor. Well, he can...
Yeah. What about his Tinsley?
Oh, forget it. I left his office shortly before 5. And after that, I stopped in at some bar for a drink.
Mm-hmm.
The way things turn out, I hate a lot of saloons at night.
Yeah.
I guess I really hung one on. Next thing I remember is being in a cafe, ordering breakfast. And it was already 9:15 the following day. I caught the afternoon train home.
In other words, I only have your word that you weren't in town that night.
Isn't that enough?
It'd be worth a lot more if you could explain Parrish finding that hat of yours.
I can't. I haven't worn it in weeks.
And for your sake, Kelly, let's hope your wife puts in an appearance real soon. Alive and well.
That was Act Two of Radio Theater.
Give me a break, will you? I told you everything. A dozen times I told you. And it's the truth. I swear it.
You never went to see Kelly first? Never tried to extort money out of him?
He's lying, I tell you. I've never been near him. You want me to take an oath? I'll take an oath.
Why did you take so long to report this to me?
Like I said, until yesterday, I wasn't sure it was Mrs. Kelly's car. I didn't want to get involved.
Involved in what, Roscoe?
Must I know? Whatever's going on down there, I guess I didn't want to get mixed up in any
of it. But suddenly you had a change of heart.
Well, it seemed the proper thing to do.
All right. Get out of here.
You never said if you think Kelly killed her.
That's right. I never said. Now pick up your feet and scram.
Sure. Okay, I didn't mean it.
And Roscoe, if I find out you've been lying, if I ever discover you've been trying to squeeze money out of anyone in this town, I'm coming down on you so hard you'll walk bent for the rest of your life. Now get going. Carol, Sheriff Barrier, I've got a little job for you. I want to talk to all the car rental agencies in New York City.
If only she'd left a note. Kept a diary. Anything that might explain her actions.
Oh, Heather thought diaries stupid. And the people who kept them even more so.
Has Sheriff Barrier been able to discover anything else?
So far, no. They plan to search the bottom of the ravine in the morning.
Dan, Why would that man Parrish lie about seeing you on Gatlin Road, I mean?
Maybe he wasn't.
But you said you were in New York.
And if Parrish saw anyone that night, he recognized only the clothes, not the actual person. The sheriff's got my hat. I saw it in his office. And I checked through my stuff here. My red fishing jacket is missing.
Dan, you're confusing me. You're saying someone was wearing your clothes?
Yeah. Looks that way, doesn't it?
You were at Kelly's place again, weren't you?
I stopped by to see him, yes.
Damn me, Patsy, haven't I told you?
You have. So there isn't any need to repeat it.
Have you any idea what Barrier and his deputies have been doing today?
Yes. Dan told me.
They're looking for his wife. Or to put it more accurately, his wife's body.
From now on, Patsy, we absolutely forbid you to go near Dan Kelly again. Is that clear?
I see. We don't even know for certain that anything has happened to Heather. But already you two are measuring a rope for Dan Kelly.
You heard what Dad said. Now leave him alone.
Oh, you'll make a fine Governor Tucker, Sinclair. Yours is just the sort of thinking this country needs.
Now, Patsy, you come back here. Come back, I said.
Somewhere, Kelly? You're around early. Going out?
Went to town for a few supplies. Why?
Just that for the time being. I'd like it fine if you went no further than that.
Aren't you jumping the gun somewhat?
Could be. But for the next few days, I'd like to know where I can reach you.
Sheriff, I'm no lawyer. But as far as I know, that's a request usually directed at a suspect in a specific crime.
True. But I've a hunch we're not far from proving one. Are we, Kelly?
It's all right if I go now.
Just so long as it's no further than town.
Don't sweat it, Barrier. I'm not planning to run.
Makes me happy to hear it.
Anything else on your mind?
Nope. Unless you're in a mood to tell me about the fight you and Mrs. Kelly had before you took off for New York.
Where'd you get that from?
A little bird.
Of an anonymous species, no doubt.
Want to tell me about it?
Sorry. Your pigeon fed you bird seed. There was no fight.
No? He claims he passed your place and could hear your wife screaming. As if she was about to be... Well, we'll leave that alone for the moment. I guess you're in a hurry, huh?
So far, that's one guess you've got right.
Also heard you weren't exactly sweet and understanding at Patsy Sinclair's birthday party.
Another faceless informant.
I'd best be moving. My men are waiting for me. I'll be seeing you, Kelly. So, stick around.
Hello?
Patsy, I need to talk to you. I need help.
Dan, what's happened?
Nothing yet. Look, I hate doing this, but you're the only one who can help.
Oh, I'll be right over.
No, not here. Barrier may have someone watching the house. I leave by the back and walk up to Stryker's Inlet. Can you meet me there?
Right. Dan, are you positive?
Positive, no. But ever since Barrier came to see me this morning, a lot of things have started making more sense. Heather's recent behavior, her performance at your party.
Oh, but Jack Tashman, I can't believe
it. Will you help me? It's a long shot, but I think I know how to bring him out into the open. Will you?
What do you want me to do?
Invite Tashman to your home tonight.
Invite? Dan, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
An excellent meal, Patsy. I thank you for inviting me. Just sorry Noah couldn't be here.
Afraid the old boy had another engagement. Don't imagine he'll be in until 8.
Jack, have you perhaps heard if the sheriff's party found anything yet?
Well, I couldn't get to Barrier himself, but one of the deputies told me that Kelly would be sleeping behind bars tonight.
Then they found her?
Oh, that I don't know. Them deputy wouldn't say.
I suppose they'll obtain a search warrant now.
Search warrant? But what for?
Why, you search the house for further evidence.
Probably. Now, let's have another drink and forget about it, shall we? I'm sure there are better things to discuss than Kelly.
I'll drink to that.
I imagine that when Heather's diary is found, they'll know what was behind everything.
Diary? She kept a diary?
How would you know about that?
Well, she once told me about it. She confided everything to it, she said.
Knock it off, Kelly. We found your wife's body and her luggage. And by morning, I hope to have proof you were in town the night she was killed. You haven't told me how she died.
She died from a blow to the back of the head. At least that's the coroner's opinion. Now, let's act like adults, huh? All you have
Barrier,
to do is tell me...
Will you please listen to me? Just do as I ask. And maybe you'll really have this case cracked by morning.
What makes you think I haven't already done so?
You haven't. Believe me, you haven't.
I must be a complete idiot, letting you talk me into a stunt like this.
Hold it.
There's someone over there, behind the garage.
You're right. Looks like a suffering catfish. It's Patsy Sinclair.
Oh, Dad. I'm so glad you're here. You too, Sheriff. I'm starting to get nervous.
Patsy, you shouldn't have come here.
I had to. When I heard you'd been arrested, Anyway, no one knows I'm out.
Hey, will you two keep quiet?
What is it?
Over there. Unless someone else has decided to join the party. Your gamble may be about to pay you off.
Who is it? I can't see.
Neither can I. But he's going around to the back of the house. How long do you figure we'll have to wait?
Not long. I made it easy for him to find. He will let me know that I'd be away tonight.
I can. The back door. It's opening.
Right. It's time to move.
Hold it right there, mister. Just stand very, very still.
Dad. It isn't Jack Dashman. It's Tucker.
Barrier, you must be insane. My son had nothing to do with that woman's death.
We caught him removing the diary from the house, Mr. Sinclair. A phony diary, I admit, but he went for it. In any case, he's already told us enough to provide himself with a perfect motive.
I don't believe it, Tucker.
It's true, Noah. Tucker was having an affair with Heather while she and Dan were still living in New York. When they moved up here, it continued.
I see. But aren't you forgetting one very important little detail, Will?
Such as?
Tucker wasn't in Mullins Cove at the time. Hell, he and Kelly traveled on the same train to New York. And Tucker was held over that night for extended discussions. Oh, damn it, man. We have a string of people who'll testify to that.
I think we may have made a mistake, Sheriff. Maybe Tucker isn't the one after all.
What?
What is all this you're trying to...
Think a moment. Who else would be interested in protecting Tucker's reputation of steering him out of trouble? Who's been pushing him, shaping his career? Noah, we're about the same size, aren't we?
What? What are you insinuating?
That it wasn't your son who killed my wife. That it was you.
I've moved out, Dan. It's all over with Tucker and me.
I'm sorry. I had no idea it would end like this.
Oh, don't be. I think it was over years ago. I didn't want to acknowledge it, that's all. Noah's the one to feel sorry for.
You may be right. The old guy was only trying to protect his son. He didn't mean to kill Heather. He only went to the house to try and talk some sense into her, he says. She'd been drinking. She became abusive, threatened to tell everyone about her and Tucker. He saw red, struck her, and she fell and hit her head against the corner of a table.
Why did he take your hat and coat?
Because he wanted to get rid of the body, make it look as if there'd been an accident. That she'd been running away when the car went off the road. Only he couldn't risk being seen driving Heather's car. The red coat, the fishing hat, they made a fair disguise. Trouble was, when the car got tangled in the brush, he panicked. And that's about when he decided to remove both her body and the luggage and rig things to look like homicide. With me as the fall guy.
Oh, poor Heather. Poor Noah.
How about poor Patsy? What will you do now?
Take a long walk. Try to forget everything. Will you walk with me, Dan?
All the way. If that's what you want.
Then, shall we start now?
In tonight's Radio Theater presentation, The Man in Red by John Wright, you heard Glenn Day as Dan Kelly, Elizabeth Williams as Heather, John Dennison as Tucker Sinclair, and Linda Delport as Patsy Sinclair. As Noah, you heard Robert Dalkirk. Jack Tashman was Ronald France. As Will Barrier, you heard Don Furnival. Roscoe Parrish was played by Gordon Van Rooyen, and as the barman, you heard Michael Blaze. The Man in Red was produced for Radio Theatre by Andre Bottman.